morning.
Good morning.
My name is Gil Sa. I am the pastor of San Jose Christian Reformed Church. That's where Zach is. I'm sure now he's preaching there, your pastor. So basically, we swap. I was here before. Maybe, I don't know, any of you remember me? Yes, long time ago. I was thinking, like, when was my last time worshiping with you here? It was 15 years ago. That's when before my family went to Cambodia for mission work. So San Jose Christian Reformed Church is our commissioning church. So sent us off, and we were here and worship with you, and you pray for us too. So we have three children. At that time, they're young, but now they're all in 20s. And so we were back to Bay Area a little bit now, year and a half. So our church, our commissioning church, has called us back. So that's where now I'm serving. So we are together in this Bay Area for the Lord and His kingdom. So it's good to be here to worship with you and also bring God's message for us. So here is our message today from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. Before we read, let us pray once again. Lord, as we come before you to worship you, as part of this wonderful worship is to also, Lord, read your word and listen to your voice. As you speak to us through your word and this humble servant, Lord, open our hearts and mind and our ears so we can hear and understand what you have for us today. And be with Lord San Jose Christian Reformed Church and also Pastor Zach as they worship there. Your name will be glorified as well. So Lord, here we are. Speak to us. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The prayer is something that is very mysterious, isn't it? Little kids can do. But the more you learn about prayer, it's both simple but very hard. And sometimes we cannot really understand how it works. If God is almighty, all-knowing, why do I have to inform him as if he doesn't know? He already knows everything. What's the purpose? But still, God wants us to pray, right? Not because he doesn't know, but because he wants relationship with us. He wants to hear from us. Just like what we want to hear from our children, if you have children. Although you already know almost everything what the little children know. So when we pray, what do we pray for? What are the contents of our prayer? You know that what we pray for actually reveals something, reveals actually our interest, our values, and our priorities. Yes, God wants to hear anything that we want to bring. But at the same time, God wants us to actually grow in our faith, right? So that what we pray for, our content of prayer will change over time. Just like, you know, what little kids ask for their parents or older children ask their parents should be different. You'll be a little bit like older, like mature adults kind of ask something that little kids ask. Then father will say, yeah, I like to hear your voice, but I want you to grow in the content of your faith and prayer. You know, today's passage, why talking about prayer? Because it's the Apostle Paul's prayer for the churches in Ephesus area, originally, 2,000 years ago. It's very encouraging and inspiring. And also at the same time, I felt what he prayed for is challenging and convicting. If we consider what we usually pray. You know, Paul could have prayed for a lot of things, external things, circumstance things, the various needs of this church. He knew this church intimately. He spent 3 years, very unusual that he went around to preach the gospel, but he stayed in Ephesus for 3 years because this was very, very important city, large city. He knew people. He knew their needs. So when he offered prayer in his letter, he could pray for many different things, like what we usually pray for, right? Health concern. Yeah, so-and-so, how is he doing? Or financial concerns. And family needs and other relationships. And growth of church and safety of community. He could pray for all those. But his prayer sounds rather abstract. You know what? Because it reveals God's heart, God's interest and priority for us as his people. You know, it started with, let's just dive into this prayer, the rest of our time here, message. It started with why he prayed this. So he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father. For what reason? In order to understand that, we have to think about the book of Ephesus as a whole, especially first three chapters. The book of Ephesus and these three chapters are talking about God's blueprint for his people, new humanity, his church. So he basically shows to us through Paul what God had in mind for his people through Christ. How God chose you and me and his people through generations as his new humanity from various nations and tribes create one new people. It's called church. Of course, different local churches are kind of specific expressions of that God's universal church, new creation. And for that reason now, Paul saying, I kneel before the Father. That kneeling, when you kneel, what are we doing? That's the posture of utter humility and surrender, right? So now Paul said, interestingly, this is what God is doing. Amazing plan for you and me and your God's people. For that reason, however, all I can do is going down to the kneeling, because this amazing plan of God for you and me cannot be accomplished by our own strength and might. God is both architect of this blueprint and also the builder. We are just recipients of this amazing plan. But I'm going to come back to recipient doesn't mean we don't do anything, but we receive with thanksgiving and we respond in gratitude and faith and commitment and service. That's how it works. So here now, Paul is almost saying, as if he said, you know what? I'd rather share my prayer to God about what I want you to know about. In other words, I have this desire for you, my beloved people. But instead of telling you what to do, I rather pray to God, and that I want to share my prayer with you. God has to do it, because it's just beyond mere my explanation and your understanding. So let's go to him in prayer. So this prayer has two parts: intercession and doxology. So first part, now Paul is bringing this petition to God, and then second part, he just prays God. So here is a prayer that he prayed, that he may strengthen you with power, so that our inner being may be strengthened. So today's message is titled, actually, Prayer for Power. But different kind of power. Because when we ask for power, we usually pray for power to deal with our circumstances, right? Power to change external circumstances. But here is different kind of power. What kind of power Paul is praying for Ephesians and for us? The power to strengthen us, our inner being. You know what? That's the best prayer. Why? Circumstance can change one way or another. Well, we pray for certain circumstance to get better. It got better. Is it permanent? There's no condition is permanent, right? It's always changing. But if our inner being is strong and established and rooted in God's love, doesn't matter what kind of circumstances come our way, we can face it. You know, I love playing sports, basketball and tennis and all that. But then as I get a little older, I get injury time to time. Sometimes my back gives out, you know, when I move certain way. So what I do nowadays is I train my core strength as much as I can every day, so that no matter what circumstance, when I play sports, my core strength will help me not to get injured. That kind of a principle here that we want to understand. So our inner being, what is it? Our inner being is, it was wonderful, our brother prayed for our true self, the self that God knows and God loves. That's our inner being. That should be strengthened. But if there's a true self, that means there's a false self. What is false self? What is called also shadow self? It's not really real, but it's kind of a shadow. It's false. That's the self that the world defines, the world measure, the world evaluates. That's why people want to look certain way. They want to accomplish a certain, so that in this world, we will be measured according to that. But that's not the self that God loves. God loves you and me as who we are, not what we accomplish, not how we look. So now Jesus is praying that the true self will be strengthened. That power. So that's the first prayer. And the second prayer is that you may have power. Again, here, asking for another power. Power for what? Second is verse 18, that you may have a power to grasp how wide and how long, how high and how deep the love of Christ is. Here is a praying for the power to grasp the extent of Christ's love. See, different kind of power. We need that kind of power, because without that power, we read about it, we sing about it, love of Christ sounds abstract, but if we have that God-given ability to really get it, the grasp, like really tangibly we get it. That power has power to transform us, transform the world. So now Paul is praying that kind of power for Ephesians and for you and me. It's a mystery of Christ's love. But that's why it requires God-given power to grasp. Paul says, the power that surpasses our knowledge, the love that surpasses knowledge, is not head knowledge or mere words, but shared experience in relationship. What an intercession. That's why I said it's encouraging and inspiring, but also it's convicting. It's like, because I usually don't pray like that. But if we pray like that, our Heavenly Father will thrill and love to answer that kind of prayer. You know, here, power and love, those are the key words. It repeated three times each. Power, power, power. Love, love, love. Power and love are probably two most common themes of novels, plays, movies, and TV shows. If you think about it, there are some exceptions, but most dramas about this power thing, whether it's a political power or relational power or love, there are two greatest forces that shape our lives, society, and history. And the world is driven by the love of power more than the power of love. So seeking power to control our lives. And that's what makes our lives actually busy, anxious, and miserable. We try to accomplish something that actually is not our business. We cannot control our lives. We are to surrender to God. But here, Paul's prayer is for the power of love, isn't it? God will be so thrilled to answer such prayer, and it's already happening to us in Christ, because the Holy Spirit within us, the Spirit of God within us, is strengthening us day by day to be able to grasp the extent of Christ's love, which is beyond our comprehension. And as a result, verse 19 says, you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. So that's what Paul is praying for you and me. We will receive the power to grasp, to know the love of Christ, increasing measure, so that we'll be filled with the fullness of God, what God has for us. But here's the question, though. If that is true, why then we don't experience the measure of all the fullness of God? How come our lives feel not so full with God, but somehow either empty or filled with anxiety and worries and not love, but sometimes conflicts and hatred? Or why? Well, that could be another sermon, but I'll just say this. What keeps us from the experiencing the fullness of God? Maybe we are already full of other things, so there is no space. Maybe we are too busy and preoccupied with other things than fullness of God. So, I'm convicted about being busy. The Bible talks about working hard, but not being busy. They're not the same. Working hard is more to do with focusing, right? Focusing on priorities of God. But being busy is we are distracted. We are preoccupied with too many things other than things of God. So as we pray this prayer, we are praying then for the change of our hearts, values, and priorities to be aligned with those of God. Changed from our preoccupation or even obsession with corruptible temporary things of the world to desiring and pursuing God's eternal truth revealed through Christ to us. You know, the devils, our enemies, want us to care actually about tomorrow too much. And this is not me, actually, according to C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape's letter, those two devils are talking. And then it's like, yeah, keep the people worry about tomorrow, not appreciate today or consider eternity. Just worry about tomorrow. What does it mean? Those of us who are worrying about tomorrow will be anxious because you're thinking about how am I going to secure the need for tomorrow. But interestingly, tomorrow never comes, because tomorrow then you worry about next day, next day, next day. See how the devil wants people to, because as long as you worry about tomorrow, you will not be able to appreciate and focus on what God has given us today. And also, we'll not be able to think about the eternity. So, on the contrary, God wants us to care about today and eternity, not worrying about tomorrow. That's why Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow. God is why? God is present here and now, and He will be ever present eternally. So His power for us then to know the love of Christ that surpasses human knowledge that is at work when? Today. And that His glory will be throughout all generations forever and ever. And that's reflected in the doxology. That's the second part of this prayer. Now, it says, to Him who is at work within us today, to Him be glory forever and ever. Okay, see? Now and forever and ever. Doesn't say tomorrow, which never comes. So having the eternity then with Christ in mind, we can live today with gratitude and love, empowered by the Holy Spirit to follow Christ, and then we can be secure and at peace in our inner being, no matter what circumstances facing us. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? The prayer that is not addressing our various needs. God does not neglect our needs, but God wants to have something even better, which is that the inner being be strong. Then, because God knows, then we can handle any kind of circumstance. Keep in mind, actually, Paul was writing this letter to Ephesians from you know where? Prison in Rome. Don't we want that reality to be true and lived out among us today? Don't we desire God to work out His blueprint through the power of Christ's love in us? Then let's join offering this prayer for power of love for us, the church. You know, this prayer that we're going to say together, it is a prayer for us, and also it is meant to be is prayer of us, our prayer. So this is a prayer, but I just substitute, instead of Paul saying you, let's pray for us, we. So we pray this for us and for our brothers and sisters throughout the world. So this is a prayer. Let's say this prayer together. For this reason, we kneel before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. We pray that out of his glorious riches, you may strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all your fullness. Now to you, Father, who are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us, to you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, may this prayer be deeply ingrained in us, so that, Lord, our desire, our hearts will be aligned with yours. Because, Lord, the love of Christ that saved us is so incomprehensibly big. Lord, we want to grasp, we want to receive the power to understand, and that love will, Lord, transform us day by day until we'll be filled with the fullness of God. Then, Lord, our life will be just natural and wonderful witnesses to this wonderful news. So that, Lord, through our life, you'll be glorified, and your church will, Lord, exalt your name, so that people in our lives will be drawn to you. So, Father, just this is our prayer in the name of Christ. Amen.